managing God's goods, we are going to study how the Christian should relate himself to all the resources and aptitudes and gifts and blessings, both material and spiritual, which God has entrusted to him. We shall consider this topic from the philosophy of relationship to God, that he is the owner, that man is the steward, and that this relationship of owner to steward has been brought about in order to develop character on the part of man. Then we should consider the motive for giving, as it relates to the very basis of man's thinking. Systematic, disinterested benevolence will occupy 2 weeks of our thinking. Benevolence is thinking well. Bene volo, wishing well. We should wish well God's purposes and man's purposes. In order to do this, we must be objective, disinterested, doing right and doing good for the sake of blessing others. We must put God first and our own desires last. There are 3 areas in which God has entrusted man with his resources. God is eternal. He has entrusted a little area of eternity to man. And this part of eternity is known as time. Time is divided up into days, and days themselves are divided up into light and darkness. How does man use his time? Then the Creator is all-wise, all-powerful, and all-skillful. He has entrusted man with some of the divine abilities. God can make something out of nothing. He has entrusted man with material resources. Time, ability, and material resources, these constitute the divine goods that man must take care of. We will be studying how we should relate ourselves to God, why we should thus relate ourselves to Him, in order to use our time, ability, and motives to His glory and to the benefit of our fellow men and to our blessings to ourselves. God's ownership. We begin our study of this great topic by concentrating upon God, with the realization, as the psalmist declared, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. The earth and its fullness are material things. They that dwell therein are persons. Our relationship to things grows out of our relationship to God and to our fellow men. The Christian is to be steward. A steward is one to whom God, the master or the owner, and in this case God, has entrusted all his goods. No one existed before God. He is the Creator. And because he is the Creator, all things belong to him. Human beings belong to him. Without realizing this, man ceases to be man and becomes an animal. Part number 1 stresses the fact that God is the owner of all. He is eternal. Since he is eternal, his right to possess is eternal. He declares that before the mountains were brought forth, the mountains are the largest, most impressive objects that man can see. We stand and behold the grandeur of the great mountain ranges and realize that God is great. Compared with small, finite man, the mountains are tremendous. And so the psalmist declares that God existed before the mountains. He is greater than the mountains. He comes from eternity in the past into eternity in the future. No finite man can comprehend the greatness and the majesty of God, who is the source and sustainer of all. Since there never was a time when God wasn't, since there never will be a time when God isn't, His power and majesty will never change. And so we begin our thinking of relationships with the realization that we are part, an extension, and creation of an infinite being. Part number two, God is a person. What do I mean by a person? Well, it's easy to understand a thing, a rock, a tree, cannot love, is not aware of its existence, cannot have compassion, cannot communicate, cannot reason or think, cannot remember, and cannot will. These are characteristics that differentiate a person from an animal, a bird, a reptile, a living plant, or inorganic matter. A person can love, can plan, can do, can communicate. God is a person. Therefore, He is sensitive and aware of His position as owner. Thou, Lord, art full of compassion. Thou art gracious, long-suffering. God can know and do and will. Now, since He is a person, since He has willed, since He has reasoned, since He is eternal, everything that we see in this world that belongs to Him has resulted because He willed and reasoned and planned and devised. Nothing is haphazard. Nothing is happenstance. Part number three, God is the Creator. Since He is a person, since He is all-wise, and since He has created, everything happens in its time and in its place to carry out its divine design. Therefore, God's right as possessor is not only innate because He is the Creator, but it is devised because He is wise. He has made all things. He has created the foundation of the earth. The heavens are the work of His hands. And as with the psalmist and other thinkers, we contemplate the world in which we live. We realize that everything is dependent upon everything else. An animal breathes. The carbon dioxide is picked up by the leaves. The leaves work on the carbon dioxide, absorb the carbon, give out the oxygen that in turn is needed by all breathing creatures. And so we see that man, an animal, and bird are dependent on the leaves, and the leaves are dependent upon man, animal, and the birds. And we could go through all the relationships in nature and realize the interdependence of every part with every other part. This makes us take a very humble attitude towards all things. We didn't devise anything. We have suddenly become aware of the fact that we are in the midst of an extremely complex creation, that above it is God, who is the Creator and Designer. Everything is made by Him, including persons. Only a person could make a person. Only a personality could divine a personality. A stone couldn't devise a brain. So back of all things is a mighty God, who is the Creator and owner of everything. Part number four, God is the Redeemer. Now the Redeemer is a revelation of God who comes to man who is lost and fallen and strayed to restore him, to rebuild him. So God has a double reason to be master of mankind. He created and He redeemed. He made in the beginning and He restored His marred creation. And so man is God's property both by creation and also by redemption. Not only is all creation an extension of God's will and God's ability to do, but we live and move and have our being today because God died for us. Man marred the creation, he frustrated the divine design, and he has been destroying. And this planet has been disintegrating ever since the fall. But Jesus, in giving himself for us, in putting himself between the condemned and the forces that would destroy him, laying down his lifeblood, has given man a second probation. As the beautiful statement says, everything we possess comes stamped with the cross of Calvary. The cross of Calvary is stamped even on every loaf of bread. It is reflected in every water spring. And so the debt we owe to God is double because God gave his Son to restore. Part number 5 calls attention to the relationship that therefore exists between the God who is the Creator and who is the Redeemer and who looks upon us as his children. Those who dwell therein belong to God. Now, what is this relationship? From the Old Testament to the New, God is called the Father. He is the Father of man as well as the Creator and Redeemer. Since he is the Father, he takes a benign attitude to all his creatures. When he put the children of Israel in the Promised Land and gave them this land for a possession, he told them, never sell it, never sell it. For a little while, you can, if you're forced to, let someone have the use of it so that he can pay you for the time he has it, but the land must never be sold. And so he claims to be the ultimate owner of all property. He gives good gifts to all his creatures. Time, talents, abilities, we shall think about these in detail. But God is the owner of them all and the giver of them to mankind. And so with the Apostle Paul we can say, what hast thou that thou hast not received? The skills, the abilities, the interests, the dexterity of hand and eye and ear and voice, pen, all come to us from God. And so everything we do, everything we have, our very thought processes, all should call our attention to the fact that there exists a continuing relationship of man with his God. In Jesus Christ, all things consist. They hang together. He maintains them all by his power. God is supreme and gives to man. Part number 6 reverses the picture. How, therefore, should man, in turn, relate himself to God? Jesus told a parable about a rich fool. The ground brought forth abundantly, the rain came and the dew came, and the elements of the earth were changed from inorganic to organic plants, and the barns were filled, and the man's material resources multiplied. Notice, the farmer had skill. God gave it to him. The farmer used the fertile soil. God gave it to him. The farmer sowed the seed, God gave him that. The sun shone in all its brilliance, God caused that. The showers fell, God caused that too. But what did the man do? He forgot that all these things came from God. And since he forgot, he planned without God. And in the Bible, a fool is one who leaves God out of his reckoning. He said in his heart, there's no God. He says to his soul, eat, drink, and be merry, for thou hast much goods. Instead of being a steward, he absorbed, took to himself everything that came his way, and therefore lived selfishly. And living selfishly destroyed self. This is the great truth. The man who forgets his relationship to God, and therefore his relationship to his fellow men, and lives for himself, destroys himself. So the emphasis of this lesson is that we should relate ourselves in all to God as the Creator and Redeemer, and ourselves as stewards working for the benefit of our fellow men.